I told them I want to make sure I could see the time. They said I could see it, but the only issue is I wanted a Lincoln for Christmas, and all I got was a cataract. And when you only have one eye, that's not very advantageous. It's not near the luxury vehicle I thought it would be. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. I've gone on, and you know how much I love your pastor and his wife. And I've been getting the opportunity to preach a lot, and I'm grateful for that. But it's always great to be here with you. And the Christmas season is different for everyone. It's just kind of like life. There's a lot of joys and there's some difficult moments for a lot of people. And this was the 20th anniversary of my wife Lynn's death. And I don't know why, but it just seemed to hit me pretty hard this year. And then God does something when you're going to give a message that it's kind of that good, bad thing. You know, driving down the road even here this morning, of course, I was thrilled. I had plenty of time, and my little brain had forgotten to put in there that it started at 10 o'clock. I thought, man, I'm going to be so early, they're going to pass out. But my car got faster the closer I got, and every light was green, and I got here about 2 minutes after, which wasn't really late at all. But I need to... Charles, you just give me a big wave when I get close to time. That doesn't mean I'll stop. You guys know me better than that. But I want to pick up on the story that is found, if you have it from Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 13. I want to read this, and I don't know if God speaks to you this way. He kind of always has in my ministry. I never really saw a message or a passage of Scripture. It always seemed to kind of turn into this series. Maybe because I'm long-winded. I don't know. But that's the kind of way I've been viewing my life. I have, you know, we all have phases in our lives, don't we? And that's kind of the way life is. Like I said earlier, it's up and down. And we look back at 2018 and there's great things that happened and we've been happy, and then we've just kind of been thankful that we've been on what we think's normal. Of course, I used to do a grief group, and they'd ask me about what's normal for grief. And I said, well, it's kind of like the rest of life. The only thing that I know that's normal is the setting on a clothes dryer. That's about it. Nothing else has normal in it. It's like this. It's all over the place, our life can be. And you know what? That's the danger of some of the preaching we hear on the radio and television, that, you know, if you go with God, you just put on those rose-colored glasses, baby, and up you go. Everything, just name it, frame it, and claim it, and life is yours. Well, the sad part is life's really not that way. And when people's lives don't match that, they wonder where is God or where their faith is at, and they become destroyed. The truth is, as we look at the Scripture, you always have to go back to the Word, right? And we find that life for God's followers is much like it is for us. It's up and down and good and bad and glorious and tragedy. But the one thing that we have, the one thing that Jesus brought into the world, we have God incarnate. We have God in the flesh providing for us a means of salvation. Like I said, He could make it where we can live forever here. And sometimes we can't help but feel that way with our loved ones. We want them around forever. But the truth is, it'd be one of the greatest tragedies to live forever here. I don't know about you, but I look around, this world is jacked up. It's kind of messed up. And it would be the greatest Shakespearean tragedy is that if we were given eternal life here. You see, God loves you more than that. what sin brought to be the greatest fear of our lives, the portal of death, is nothing for God but a transformation into a glorious, perfect world that He's created for us. I mean, He really does love us. I can't imagine sending my son into any danger for anyone, let alone God coming down to redeem us. I don't know about you, but I don't think we're all that in a bag of chips, do you? Just saying. I know it scares you because I'm not looking at an outline. You're going to be like, he's going to be here all day. But I promise Charles will wave at me and things will get better. But until then, I want to share with you that I've been looking at life through a prism. Everything's kind of been filtered and seen through that. And it is really God's purpose versus whatever. And I've seen the entire Christmas story, and I've preached, been preaching a series of messages, and this falls right with it, the story I read, or going to read here from Matthew chapter 2. The Magi have come, they are leaving, everything seems to be great. I mean, look at all the crazy miracles that's happened to get to this place, to get this baby at 2 years of age. To have him to be born at one of the times when there's one of the greatest mortality rates known to man is just wild to me. That the Son of God came into that atmosphere. When the Magi, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up. I love that. Sometimes the greatest answers to God are the simplest. So he got up. You know, nothing's going to happen in your life in 2019 until you get up. I wasn't planning on saying that. That's free. Took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. He got up during the night. Did you catch that? When God speaks, you just obey whenever. I didn't aim to get stuck here, but this is good. You know, the Word of God's pretty cool if you really read it. He took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Two prophecies being fulfilled in this one act of obedience. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping a great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Okay, what am I seeing in all of this? I want to catch you up. I'm going to preach the whole Christmas story this morning. Praise God. Learning to look at life through the purpose of God. I see it in the entire story. I see it with the Magi. They're kind of, we see them at the end of the story, but not really. They started off, you know, kind of toward the beginning. And these weren't just some learned guys that just happened to fall upon the star. We know that Daniel had been taken captivity by the Babylonians, right? And he became in power in Babylon and had this great authority, and people were, you know, he was like second in command. Well, during that time, he actually had like a school of prophets. He was teaching the prophecies of God of the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer into the world. You see, he had been given that because God knew that this was not going to be a physical Messiah or deliverer for Israel from its enemies around, including Rome, that this is going to be a true Redeemer for all peoples all over the world. So I see in the Magi purpose over position, their position in life. They chose the purpose of God over their position in life. They picked up, they took what they had, they took the best of what they had, and they traveled for miles, and they really didn't understand it, or they wouldn't have stopped in Jerusalem. Now, it's common sense they stop in Jerusalem, right? I mean, if a Messiah, a King of Israel, is going to be born, you assume it would be in Jerusalem. It would be either at the seat of power or at the temple, one or the other, that he's going to be a religious leader or a military leader, and so it makes sense to stop there. You see, we don't always know everything, all the details about what God wants us to do, but He'll help us along the way. Kind of filled it in along the way, didn't He? And they found out and they went to Jesus, and what blows my mind, I don't want to get stuck at the Magi, but these guys blow my mind. I mean, they fall down and worship Jesus, the Son of God, and we all see it in the manger scene or under the crash, however you want to say it. And we just love that. The kings are bowing there. We usually got camels kneeled down by them. Well, there was probably a whole score of people traveling with them. But has anybody ever been around a two-year-old? Hello? Jesus was a real human two-year-old. Magi, kings, leave their country, follow a star that they had known about through prophecy. They believed it, they follow it. Things weren't working out like they thought, and they end up at the home of Joseph and Mary. The baby wasn't in the manger like in all the beautiful manger scenes. He's around a two-year-old running around. And they fall and they worship Him. I mean, we know all the great things that Jesus has done, and for most of us that are sitting there, He has come into our hearts and forgiven us of our sins, right? I mean, we know He's real. We know He's more than just a two-year-old toddler running around. We know that He's not just was came into the world to redeem Israel, but it's a bigger deal than that. He came into the world to redeem me. And we can't hardly grunt on Sunday morning. We can sing the greatest song in the world. Hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God. I mean, think about when we look through the prism of God's purpose in our life. Is what we're doing, is it really filled with that purpose of God? I mean, it's in every aspect. I see it. I see it in that high position of the Magi. I see it in Joseph and Mary. I see, wow, I see the purpose of God over preference. Joseph's preference was to get out of Dodge. I mean, can you blame the guy? I mean, what a story. I've been engaged to a lady for about a year, and she's a virgin, and then she comes knocking on the door. By the way, I'm pregnant. Don't worry about it. It's the Son of God. Yeah, I mean, I've never heard that one, but it sounds pretty good. And Joseph, what did he do? Well, I'm such a great, wonderful man that God chose. I don't care. I'm going to love you, Mary. No, he said, I'm out of here. Didn't he? He's going to leave. I'm going to do it quietly. He's a good man. But he sees the reality, and he's like, I'm going to leave. That was his preference. But then here came the angel of the Lord and spoke to him. And it was all that he needed. It was real enough that he believed. And so he follows through with the will of God. Purpose over preference. I see it in Mary, don't you? The young virgin. She's got to face her family and community and tell them she's pregnant. She's broken the spousal law, the betrothal law of the year of abstinence of sex, but living like the wife. And she's pregnant and going to face everyone, but it's okay. It's the Son of God. Take that to Thanksgiving next year. You know, when we say, but, you know, but if God would come to me like that, if an angel of the Lord, and all these stories we see, the angel, even the one this morning that I'm reading to Joseph again, the angel comes and tells him, you know, but if God would come to me like that, I want to tell you something. We live in the dispensation of God's grace where Spirit doesn't live around us, but it now lives in us. Amen? We have the greatest time and opportunity to know and to hear the will and the purpose of God that man has ever known. The purpose of God versus preference. The verses of God over the position of the Magi. I see it. I see it in the shepherders. I mean, these guys, I'm sure your pastor has shared with you, they're the low of low. I see the purpose of God overriding the position of highness, and then through the shepherds, I see it overriding the positions of lowness. And sometimes we use that as an excuse not to serve God, but you know, man, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've turned down with God before. You don't know how I fought. Well, I've even lost out with God. And we go on and on and on. And we see ourselves in a low position. But what, you know what? The redeeming grace of God through Jesus Christ doesn't see us that way. He sees us as His and redeemed. And we can always fulfill the purpose of God. And sometimes He has to just keep coming to us. I love that. That's why I love this story. It's like the end of the year. It's like the closing of this segment of the Christmas story. It's phenomenal. It looks like it's good. I mean, look what they've been through to get to this 2-year-old child. You know, I used to say the greatest thing about my salvation trials is that I know that I know that I know. Can't explain it. Can't write it down. Can't tell you. It's like this morning driving down. Lo and behold, even in the midst of me being absent-minded and almost being late, you know, God does this to preachers a lot. I'm driving down the road and my heart just got flooded. And, you know, Pastor Johnson was a friend of mine and in the area of my grief and all that. It wasn't anything to do with any of that. I was just flooded. I mean, I love you all, and maybe part of it was coming down to be with you this morning and to get to share God's Word, but I really don't think it was. I was beyond Indianapolis. I was over at Richmond this weekend and drove back late last night. And it was just tough. It was just tough, tough, tough. But about halfway through the drive, nothing matters. Because God just came flooding in my spirit this morning. He knew I had to come down here and share with you. And I've kind of made a little deal with God. I don't want it ever to be just about me, you know. I just want people to see Jesus. And if ever anyone ever preached that it should be about God, it should be me. I've always said, I was the least, Paul said, I'm the least of these, my brethren. I can relate with that 100%. I'm the last person that God should have ever chosen. I'm the last person that God should ever be allowing to share His Word. But He's done it, and He's been faithful, and He's been strong, and He's been good, and He's held me up, and He's walked with me, and every time I've needed it, He's flooded my heart with love and compassion and joy. And I just hope I can Go into 2019 with that same love, joy, and compassion, but even in a greater capacity. Not just because of the presence of God, but because that of God that is in every person in the human race. I mean, we need to not just see each other with love and compassion and caring, but we need to really see God's creation. We need to see those who are lost in a new way. It's a new vision and a new compassion. And we need to start seeing our lives and lost people, because I'll tell you the truth, that's the only reason you're here. I love that you're here in church and what you're doing in the church and the job that's given you to help finance the church and your family and all of those things. But I tell you, they're not worth anything. That's not your purpose. Our purpose is to love and win a lost and dying world for Jesus. Because Charles, you saw it. You're standing on the throes of losing someone, and you know people right down the hall that's going through the same thing. And sometimes it's on your side, and sometimes it's not. Well, you know, part of the thing is the way we look at things. Well, why did God take this one and not take that one? Well, I don't think God's in the taking, killing business. If we die in Him, He receives us, right? But He's not going around with the big computer game. Oh, I think I'll just take out so-and-so today. It's appointed once unto man to die, not there's an appointment to die. If I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and step out in front of a car or a train or whatever, and it runs over me, good chance I'm going to die. And I don't think that's God's will, do you? You know, I've done a lot of crazy things. I was working in a situation and, you know, did something I shouldn't. A piece of steel went through my eye, blew the back of it out. I don't think that's God's will, do you? Now, I used it to wake me up and get my attention that, you know, you can die. And that's when I began to look at the Bible and the Word of God, and it began to change my life. And I got saved. And that's the other thing. You know, you just don't grow into this salvation thing. We're kind of bought into that in the world that we live in. I think it's like the survivors on the Titanic. Hey, there were two columns when their families got there to that port. There were two columns. One said saved and one said lost. And that's really the way it is. Well, I'll just kind of go to God. God knows I have a good heart. I'm not really giving it to Him. I really can't say I'm saved that He's come into my life, but I'm kind of growing and kind of thinking about it, and I just hope He gives me a break when I get there. Oh, wrong-o. Sorry, I had to throw the Grinch in somewhere. You see, if we understand we're either saved or lost, it should just give us that understanding that we need to see the purpose of God in our life. Here I see it again. God's purpose over the place. Over place. Okay, you got to get up in the middle of the night and go to Egypt. If really. I mean, we've had the star. We've had an angelic choir sing, right? We've had prophecy that He's to be born in Bethlehem, in Judea. We have shepherds that have gloriously came and broke their rank and went into town and told people because they so believed it. I mean, we've had magi come and bring gifts, and all of this stuff has happened, and we got to get up in the middle of the night and run like fugitives to Egypt? You see, God knew what was coming, and if it had been, you talk about the will of God, He would have stopped it. Herod chose, because of the word of the Magi, he wanted this new king taken out, and he didn't know who it was, and they gave him a false report, but he figured out from them that this child was about 2 years of age, maybe, and so he had every child killed in that entire area. It wasn't the entire nation, like I've kind of heard preached. It was Bethlehem and the surrounding area. Every child 2 years age or younger was killed. The age of two or younger was killed. That wasn't the will of God. kind of cool thing, though, they were saved in their innocency, and they didn't lose anything, did they? I don't know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but in that day and time, that was God's only way to bring this into fruition. You see, the wood of the cradle. Are you with me? I'm going to shut up now. Maybe. The wood of the cradle. I say cradle. The wood of the feed trough. Because that's really what it was, okay? Think about that. God allows His sons to be born in this hostile environment and laid in a feed trough for a lifetime. I don't get it. You see, I think this great, creative, powerful God that created us could have recreated. But He didn't. He redeemed. And because of His holiness, the only thing that would suffice was holiness to make that sacrifice for us, to become sin for us. I love the song we sing, He became sin who knew no sin. You see, the wood of the cradle is going to become the cross in about 33 years. Do you think that protected Mary from her feelings as her son died on the cross? No. Do you think it stopped? We have the biblical record. It didn't stop the confusion and even falling away of the people that loved Him the most. But through it all, because of the purpose of God, they were redeemed. In 2019, I want to tell you, God loves people. Woo! Isn't that just a phenomenal big statement? And He just doesn't love us who's gotten saved and attend church. He loves everyone equally. I don't know how. I thought of that. The Boston bombing, the 9/11, the terrorists who destroyed the Twin Towers and took so many lives. You know, God loved them just as much as He did Billy Graham. You see, it's not how God loves or doesn't love. It's how we love and follow His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. From the youngest to the oldest. He's not done yet. Even with a crazy old preacher like me. And if you want a successful, happy, beautiful 2019... And you may come to the end of the year and you might have less money in your bank account. If you follow God and listen to Him, are you with me? And things might go awry and all these things, but we see that in this story. I mean, they went to Egypt. How was He going to take care of His family there? I don't know, but He did. And at the right time, and it was years that this had to happen until Herod was gone. And then an angel spoke to Joseph again. I wonder how many days he woke up and wondered how long he would have to keep his family there. How long did he go through that? How many doubts entered his mind? But he stayed there until he heard from God. If God puts you there, stay with it until He tells you to walk away. Stay with it. Let's get our hands to the plow and fulfill the purpose of God. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. I love how pastor does invitation. If you want someone to pray with you or don't want someone to pray with you, either way, my thing to you today is whether you respond publicly or whether you go home, I really want you to do some digging. You know, we talk a lot about holiness and what that looks like. Our own denomination can't even define it. Can I give you a definition? Fall in love with God. In the same measure, He's fallen in love with you. Which is lock, stock, and barrel. And go after Him with everything you've got. Love Him through everything you do. Love Him through everyone you meet. And you'll know what holiness is. Amen. The altar's open. If you want to respond to mind the Lord, love for you to do that.